pistol whipping the tailor. The tailor, however, denied this and refused to testify to Newton that Newton was out to get him. Immediately after Newton was first targeted for the beating, he fled the country to Cuba. He returned in 1977 to face the charge, citing a changed political climate. Newton faces up to 2 years in jail for each charge. I would doubt, again, having met Huey Newton in Cuba personally when it was illegal to travel there. When my family went there, we found him to be a very hospitable host, and he was most dedicated and serious in reference to the rights of U.S. citizens and his struggle for freedom, the international struggle for liberation. I doubt very much that he would pistol whip a old tailor, a senior tailor, just as much as I doubt that he, as popular a man as he would have to be out checking the scene in the nightlife and picking out a woman from the streets to have some sort of sex with. Charles Diggs' trial opens. Congressman Charles Diggs went on trial last week to charges of mail fraud and taking in kickbacks from the staff. Diggs was a hit, certainly, in March with a 35-count indictment, which later turned out to be 37, for a variety of financial inconsistencies. Six of the charges were dropped just before the trial of a Washington, D.C. federal court opened September 27. The government has charged that Diggs surely sorely in debt, used a number of means in case or to case his financial burdens. Treasury testimony from their sources and from former Diggs employee Jean Stultz, who all said she left in bias from his team last week, centered around the charge that Diggs raised her salary and requested her to pay some of the bills with the differences between the old salary and the new. Diggs has not denied that staff members sometimes may pay the bills or his bills from the salaries sometimes paid the from the salary sometimes paid, but considered and contends that the parties with which have been trying to get his job, he contends that this represents the mispractice that has been legalized by the House of Representatives. His father went through similar proceedings many years ago. The trial will be decided by a jury of 11 blacks and one white. We shall see how it goes. you may have a chance with 11 blacks and 10 whites not to get a heavy sentence. Stand by. Certain Chican is a small peasant community in the historic Sacred Valley of the Urubamba River, several hours drive from the former Incan capital. If you are having trouble listening to this PA, please let us know. We've had a lot of trouble with it, and it goes on slow speed and high speed, and distorts the voice, so be sure that you mention it to us. Anyway, Chuzo, high in the Andes, the region's outward security leaders, belies decades of violent struggle over the land, including the present insurrection of the early 1960s. History was made as Chican during August 27 through September as the present Confederation of Peru, the CCP, held its fifth congressional and achieved a merger with the National Agrarian Confederation, one of the few countries where we see the Maoist and the middle left and the Soviet left agreeing on points of liberation. And that, of course, is what's going to take if colonialism's boot is removed from the backs of the oppressed in Chile, in Peru. There is no other way. I'm trying to read you some notes and scratches of other people, and so I hope that it's intelligible to you. The CNA was once used as subversive bureaucracy created and controlled by the Peruvian military dictatorship. But as the power sectors of the peasantry were organized in recent years under the military leadership of the CCP and the CNA, also because became radicalized and broke with the bourgeoisie regime on September 12th, more than 10,000 peasants at Cusco's Plaza de Armas to witness the signing of the merger government. I wish the people that make the notes would give the news. Someone's here to speak to me? Okay, stand by for the news.